Good morning, everyone. Good morning and welcome to Essex Church, where our community of Kensington Unitarians has its spiritual home. Ours is a community created by all who walk through our doors. We welcome you, whoever you are, whatever you are, however you are feeling this Sunday morning. For I think we're here to connect with something greater than just ourselves. To put perhaps to one side any fixed ways of thinking and being. Instead, perhaps, to open ourselves to the possibility of inspiration. Of hearing, perhaps, a still, small voice. An inner wisdom that can encourage us to move forward in life, accepting what is, making the best of all that we've been given. So let's take a moment to take a conscious breath, to gather every aspect of ourself to this moment, to bring all of ourselves here now together, just as we welcome one another as we meet in the morning. Let's welcome every bit of ourselves to the here and now. And as our chalice flame is lit, and is lit in communities all around the world, and as the Jewish community, including the Jewish community Beit Klal Yisrael that it meets in this building, as the Jewish community ready themselves for their festival of Yom Kippur, it starts on Tuesday at sundown, their Day of Atonement, a day for deep reflection and for turning from the old to the new, a day for making amends, laying down any old resentments and habits, a time for starting anew. May this flame help us also to reflect on that which could be laid down in our own lives, set aside, placed to rest. I always hope that coming to church is going to be useful for each of us. Church needs to find ways to help us to live our lives, doesn't it? So the story I'm about to tell you gives you all a helpful suggestion of how to get out of a difficult situation. And that situation is, if ever you break something that belongs to somebody else, something really special, and you don't know how to tell the person that you've broken this special something of theirs. The story is of the Zen master Ikkyu, who was renowned for his quick thinking. And this quick thinking came in handy for him in a well-known story from his youth. As a young monk, Ikkyu got himself into difficulties one day when he accidentally dropped his master's teacup, breaking it into many pieces. This was serious, because the teacup was the master's favorite. It was a rare ancient treasure. It was beautifully crafted from porcelain, priceless. Of all the master's possessions, it was probably the thing he cherished the most. And now it was on the floor, hopelessly smashed. Ikkyu felt terribly guilty, but before he could formulate a plan to run away, he heard footsteps approaching. The steady footsteps of a Zen master. I haven't quite mastered this one yet. It'd be a bit slower, wouldn't it? So Ikkyu swept the broken pieces together, and blocking them from view with his body, he turned to face the door just as his master entered. When they were within speaking distance, Ikkyu asked, "Master, why must people die?" And the master replied, "It is perfectly natural, Ikkyu. Everything in the world experiences both life and death." "Everything?" said Ikkyu. "Everything. So it is not something that we should feel upset about, us humans?" "There is no need. Everything is part of the great cycle of life. Now, the master loved to teach on this particular subject and soon got into his swing, reminding Ikkyo of their tradition's teachings on this subject of impermanence, that no thing can last forever. And at that point, the crafty young monk Ikkyo moved us aside to present the broken pieces of the special teacup. "Master," he said, "your cup has experienced its inevitable death." "And I recommend you use this if ever you break something that belongs to somebody else. It's bound to work." So let's join now in a time of prayer and reflection. And countless seasons turn. Way back in the 1700s, Thomas Paine described the world as his country. So I invite you to take that idea into a time of prayer and reflection for our world, where in some places we seem to be taking steps backwards to increased nationalism, the reasserting of tribal identities, with leaders who promise or threaten to build walls to keep out the others. So let's call on a power greater than our own to witness the oh-so-human fears that lead us to want to stick to our own. The fears that invite us to close doors and pull up drawbridges. May each of us understand these fearful impulses in ourselves, and so better understand them in others. Help us, Great Spirit, you who silently witness the ebbs and flows of human societies through the countless seasons, knowing that no power lasts forever. No regime withstands the passage of time. No one ideology can ever be true for all people and all places. Help us to live in harmony with our great human diversity. Help us to recognize our own fears, our own small-mindedness. Guide us towards paths of ever greater generosity, ever more open-heartedness, ever more sensible ways of running our communities. Help our leaders to move beyond efforts to be popular. Help our media to be more moderate in reporting the news. Help each of us to find those gentle pathways in turbulent times, paths of kindness and good sense. Carry the apologies of we who have so much to all who have so little. Our apologies for not doing more to right wrongs and to ease suffering. We might think of those whose lives have been ripped apart in Haiti by the recent hurricane there, those under siege in Aleppo and other places as the civil war in Syria rages on, or in Yemen where violence continues, those struggling to survive in nations faced with yet another year when the rains have not fallen. Ethiopia, Eritrea, Somalia, and so many other places. In a shared moment of stillness now, let us each send our thoughts and prayers to places and people we know to be in need. And as we join our minds and hearts together in prayer, may we also join the actions of those seeking to bring about change, knowing that together we can do so much more than alone. And so may it be, for the greater good of all. Amen.
Uncertainty Abounds by Ajahn Chah. Whatever states of mind, happy or unhappy, occur, never mind. We can constantly be reminding ourselves, this is uncertain. This is something people don't consider very much, that this is uncertain. Just this is the vital factor that may bring about wisdom. In order to cease our coming and going and find rest, we only need to say, this is uncertain. Sometimes we may be distraught over something to the point that tears are flowing. That is something not certain. When moods of desire or aversion come to us, we can just remind ourselves of this one thing. Whether standing, walking, sitting, or lying down, whatever appears is uncertain. The way I practice meditation is not very complicated, just this. This is what it all comes down to. It's uncertain. Everything meets at this point. You don't need to keep track of all the various instances of mental experience. When you sit in meditation, there may be various conditions of mind appearing, seeing and knowing all manner of things, experiencing different states. Don't keep track of them, and don't get wrapped up in them. You only need to remind yourself that they're uncertain. That's enough. That's simple, and it's easy to do. Then you can stop. Knowledge will come, but then don't make too much out of that or get attached to it. This understanding of things is always timely and relevant. At all times, it is impermanence that rules. And this is something we can all meditate upon. Thank you.
we have a look at our order of service now, we're going to sing a chant which will probably be new to most of us. I thought I had a few more copies of the music for people who like looking at the notes going up and down, but I can't seem to find them at this moment. But the musicians have got the music, so that helps. We'll hear it through once on the piano. We'll maybe sing it through four times altogether. And then if we're feeling really confident, then we could break into a round and see how that goes. See what you think. And let's stay seated with this one. Something alerted me the other day to the fact that I started teaching religious education as a subject 35 years ago. Can you believe it? They say that time flies when you're having fun, don't they? But you know, that seems an eternity ago. Teaching teenagers a subject they often don't want to be taught can make time seem to move very slowly indeed. But over the years, I found that certain aspects of the subject could really grab a teenager's attention. And one of those aspects is the topic we're exploring in today's service, impermanence, the spiritual teaching that nothing lasts. I think this teaching is a really compelling one. It's also a really difficult one to fully get our heads round. And when you meet a spiritual teacher who actually lives from this essential truth of impermanence, well, you know that you're in the presence of someone special. Years ago up at Findhorn, I was fortunate to meet a Tibetan Buddhist Lama called Lama Yeshe. I don't know if anybody else has met Lama Yeshe. There's lots that I remember about him. The first thing was that he was very talkative, but he had spent 12 years on silent retreat. Can you imagine? I reckon that was why he was so talkative, because he was making up for lost time. But he'd spent 12 years on silent retreat before turning to a life of teaching. He'd spent years, as many Tibetan monks do as part of their training, meditating in front of a carefully stacked pile of bones of their fellow monks who died before them. And the other thing that I remember about Lama Yeshe was that he was absolutely filled with joy. "I wake up each morning," he said, "and I say to myself, I'm a lucky, lucky Lama, lucky Lama Yeshe." That phrase has stayed with me ever since. It's remarkably cheering when life is tough. And the source of his joy, I think, was the sense of aliveness that can come when we know that all life perishes, all teacups break. That chant that we just sang with its first line, "Many things will change, we feel it and we know," the words were written by Matthew Smith, a minister in Framlingham and Bury St. Edmunds. It's becoming a new favourite with me, but every time I sing it, I think of Matthew and I want to say to him, "Not many things, Matthew, everything, everything will change." But we don't always want to feel it or know it, do we? We'd rather live as if everything was going to last forever, thank you very much. But try singing that. "Everything will change, but we don't always want to feel or know it. We'd rather live as if it was all going to last forever more," etc. I'm going to work on that one. The Buddha's teachings on impermanence are worthy of careful study. No thing, no material thing can last forever, and yet it is human nature to crave permanence. We become attached, says the Buddha, and our attachment is the source of both our joy and our suffering. We try to make things stay the same in our relationships with one another, in our societies, in ourselves, and yet change is built into the very structure of existence. I'm very fond of George Bernard Shaw's quote on this. It's part of a bigger piece of his on the difficulty of human relationships and how we try to make everybody stay just how we want them to be. George Bernard Shaw wrote, "The only man I know who behaves sensibly is my tailor. He takes my measurements anew each time he sees me. The rest go on with their old measurements and expect me to fit them." And I'm back with Lama Yeshe again, and apologies to anybody who is suffering from knee pain, because he focuses on knee pain, and actually I've been having problems with one of my knee, and I now know how horrid it is. But Lama Yeshe, here on knee pain. "Every aspect of your body and mind is impermanent, changing, changing, changing. Even when your knee hurts," he writes, "it's not as bad as you think. Your ego exaggerates the pain. It solidifies the feeling, makes it feel unchangeable like iron. This is a totally wrong conception, a completely unrealistic interpretation. If you can realize this, the pain will be digested by your wisdom and disappear." He's not here now, is he, Lama Yeshe, to go further into this teaching. But he writes, "Why? Because the pain you feel in your knee does not arise by itself, but in combination with ego activity. When one of these elements disappears, the combination also disappears." Okay, if anybody would like to join a support group for knee pain sufferers, and we will try this out at some point. If If impermanence is within the very nature of all that exists, and if change is inevitable, well, then life is very uncertain, isn't it? As the reading we heard earlier on, thank you for that, Gina. And to face life's uncertainty is a very big ask for most of us. It is actually a very scary prospect. Each time we greet one another, can we greet one another as if we might never see each other again? Each time we take breath, can we breathe as if it might be our last breath? When we get in a tiz about life's vital issues, like being late or something precious being broken, or our knee hurting, or someone saying something hurtful, or a government, heaven forbid, behaving in a manner we find frankly reprehensible, can we hold an awareness that all these human edifices will fall away into nothingness in the blink of an eye? From the aspect of eternity, as Spinoza, that 17th century Dutch philosopher, famously explored, a change is going to come, for sure. But quite what that change may be is less under our control than we generally care to imagine. I don't know if you've come across Susan Jeffers' book, really useful book, and I'm not sure if we've got a copy in the library. It's called Embracing Uncertainty. One of her suggestions was that for a day, we try adding the word maybe to every sentence and every thought. It's such a simple exercise, and it's such a great reminder of how certain we prefer to feel about life. It's just in our natures to live as though life is certain. So I think we have to help one another to live with uncertainty. Spending time with people who are newly bereaved is one of the most moving aspects of ministry. It sounds ridiculous to say it's a privilege, but you know what I mean. It is a privilege to be allowed into the life of an individual or a family at a time of raw emotion. And one of the most revealing aspects about that for me is we do all cope with loss, don't we? We've all experienced loss. We do it in our own personal ways. We, each of us, I think, have our own particular life teachings that help us through. And these understandings, our own personal philosophies, if you like, can be a source of great comfort to others in their turn. We all have insights and sources of comfort to offer one another. Change is going to come, but we don't get to choose what form change will take. It may be sudden, it may be slow. Looking around, I know many of us have experienced the shock of sudden changes, and my apologies if this is touching a nerve for you. Maybe that phone call that we'll not forget, or the life-changing conversation, the news delivered kindly or harshly. We also know the changes life brings about more slowly, our changing abilities and strengths, the colour of our hair, the suppleness of our bodies. Our life task is surely to adjust to the changes we must live through anyway. So nothing lasts, not even this lengthy sermon. But if you look in the order of service, you'll see that nothing lasts, as a title, has a question mark. That question mark points us towards some timeless values that I think we humans pass on to one another. Values to live by. These are the qualities we share when we silently hold the hand of a friend who is newly bereaved, when we walk and talk with someone whose relationship has just come painfully to an end, or has recently received a scary health diagnosis. These are the qualities we share when we hear someone's hopes and dreams, their plans for next steps, their new awareness of possibilities in life. Because this is what it is to be human, to share our experiences, our glimpses of reality, to find timeless values by which to live our temporary and oh so very precious lives. And I'm really glad to be sharing that living with all of you. Amen. Words by Nancy Wood. Do join if you wish in speaking now. Hold on to what is good, even if it is a handful of earth. Hold on to what you believe, even if it is a tree which stands by itself. Hold on to what you must do, even if it is a long way from here. Hold on to my hand, even when I have gone away from you. Amen.
Amen.
Go well, and blessed be.